backside, picked off. Eric Crocker, always around the football at that time, made a great catch.
All right, here we go. Part two with Eric Crocker joining me once again. We talked cornerbacks last week. We're getting into wide receivers now. We have already talked some wide receivers, and I was going to talk about the top three guys at wide receiver, which might not be your top three guys actually anymore when it comes to the 49ers potentially taking one at the top of the draft at number 13 overall. But then I was like, you know what? This is going to be a longer conversation than we can fit into one quick segment. I didn't want to pack it in with the cornerbacks. So we're going to do a whole episode here on wide receivers. Now that you have your top 20 wide receivers list finalized here and you've dug into the tape a little bit more, watched these guys more. Last time we talked about wide receivers, the Niners didn't have the number 13 pick. We didn't expect that the 49ers would have an opportunity to draft maybe the best wide receiver in this draft. So, Eric, once again, thank you for joining me here on the show. You really shook up Twitter when you dropped this thread and ranked your wide receivers because it changed up quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, with my initial rankings, you know, you kind of, and you know, I watched some YouTube stuff and, you know, I watched guys and, you know, I wasn't able to get like too deep into it, but, you know, I had a general idea of, you know, who guys were and kind of their skill sets and stuff like that. So I put out my initial rankings and there were like a ton of guys I hadn't watched yet. Even Denzel Mims, he was a guy I hadn't watched yet. And, you know, people were like, hey, what about Mims? What about Mims? What about Mims? I'm like, okay, you know, I'll check him out. And then, of course, you know, he went to the combine and blew the combine away, tested extremely well. So, you know, on my initial rankings, you know, I had at one, and I'll just kind of just briefly run through my, I guess, top five. I know I had at one Lamb, two Ruggs, one Judy, two Ruggs, three Lamb, four Higgins, five Ayuk.
Yeah.
And then there were other guys that are really talented, of course. You know, Jefferson was like seven, Rieger was at eight, you know. But yeah, I've definitely changed a bit since then.
Yeah,
after really watching these guys. And due to the quarantine times right now, I've probably put way too many hours in on this laptop of mine.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I already put too much time in, and I'm sure you do too, because it's just something that you do for fun. And now it's like, well, what else are you going to do? Let's put on this other receiver that people are talking about. And it's like, it's almost like you're the GM and Twitter's your area scouts, right? And so like, you got to watch this guy. So you're like, okay, well, let's put him on. Let's see who this guy is. And,
yeah.
And you can get pretty deep into it and you can waste most of a day watching these guys. Absolutely. So with that, Judy was your number one, but he is no longer. I was really blown away when I saw you drop your list and you had CD Lamb jumping from 3-1 for you and out of Oklahoma, CeeDee Lamb. So what did you see? What was different than what you saw now, or just once you saw the complete picture of Lamb, why do you have him as your top receiver in this class?
You know, I've gone back and forth with him. I think even my initial rankings, it was just like, I think he's supposed to be here at 3. And then I really, really watched him. I'm like, I don't think I like this guy at all, you know? And then, you know, I just continued to watch because I'll just keep watching guys. And then I saw something, I'm like, okay. And I watched, I'm like, okay, I like the way he did that. So then I just started kind of like, I had to change the way that I watched him because initially watching him, I was watching him the same way I watched Judy, the same way I watched Ruggs. And he doesn't win the same way that they win. So I kind of had to look at, one, how does he win? What does he bring? What elite traits does he have? And then the things where I don't really care for, can he get better at those things? And I think the biggest question mark I had was, you know, separation skills, route running. And I watched and I said, you know, he doesn't have a problem running routes. After you really watch, he has a problem with the consistency of it. And I don't know if that was so much just the Oklahoma offense really not always asking him to, you know, run 20-yard comes back. But when I watch a guy and he can run a 20-yard comeback, I'm like, man, you can run any route. On the route tree, if you can do that. And I just started watching the way he moved. He did have twitch. It was just almost like maybe in the Big 12, he wasn't always asked to do it. So I had to really find it and really look and kind of really watch a bunch of films to kind of say, hey, you know what? He does have all the ability to do it. It just has to be more consistent. And now if he can be more consistent at playing fast, which he runs a 4.5, it's not slow, not a burner, but if he can play faster, like I saw him against UCLA, like I saw him against Iowa State, you know, if he can continue to do those things, and add and be that twitchy guy and add that element of route running to his toolbox to go with the 50-50 ball ability that he's – that's an elite trait of his. His ability, his run after catch, amazing, right? I mean, we're talking about a special player there, you know, if he can do those things. And, you know, clearly there's no, you know, perfect prospect, or at least not in this class. There's no Julio Jones or A.J. Green coming out. But I'd say, you know, I bet that the Texans, when they drafted Hopkins at like 27 or whatever, they maybe had some of the same questions with him. And we've seen how it kind of worked out for him. Now, I'm not saying Lamb is going to be Hopkins, but I'm saying they probably have some or had some of the same reports on their scouting reports.
Yeah.
And if Lamb can really focus on those things, which I see him doing it, I know he works with Footwork King, and he just continues to grind at that part, he's going to be a really dangerous guy in the NFL. So that's what kind of swung my thoughts on him. And also, I didn't talk about his blocking, his willingness to really get dirty, and the attitude in which he plays in that matter. I just think when I'm looking at a receiver and I want that wide receiver one, I think he brings to everything and has the ability to add to get even better from a route running perspective.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. The Big 12, first of all, is annoying to watch wide receivers because the defense that's played there, and then you have the air raid at Oklahoma, and he's schemed wide open sometimes, so he doesn't have to run these great routes to get open. But and as almost disappointed like you were the first time I watched him, but the more I watched him, the more I realized, okay, he has traits that really translate to the NFL. I think the number one, even above all of the others, is the one you mentioned about his toughness and his physicality, the way he goes after the football, the way he's sort of an alpha on the field, and the ball is his when it's in the air, and he will block you, and he's physical. And I think those things really translate to the NFL. Then it's the feet. He's got great feet. He's almost short-legged, even though he's somewhat tall. He's a weird yeah. prospect. And he's got really good feet, and you can tell that he's got burst, and he can move in short areas, and you see it after the catch. You see it sometimes with the way he runs routes, and then how confident he is with his hands and his ball skills and acrobatic, and he made a Brandon Lloyd-like catch on the sideline. I think it was against UCLA. And so he brings a lot to the table. The one thing I wish, or there's two things I wish I could see, because he gets that comp to DeAndre Hopkins, and that makes total sense, and I can see that. But Hopkins, if you're going to be a bully in the NFL, Hopkins is like 15, 20 pounds heavier than Lamb is. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is the top speed. And his legs are so choppy with his steps. It's really good for short area stuff, and it's good after the catch. But he doesn't really threaten DBs deep that often. And it's almost like he gets to top speed so fast, but then that's it. Like, he tops out quickly too, and there's not that extra bit of juice. And that, those two things, like, I wish he was just a little faster or a little bigger. And if you had both, then you have Julio Jones or whatever. But, you know, so nobody's a perfect prospect. But those two things worry me from being like, oh, yeah, he's a slam dunk number one prospect for me, even though there's a ton of like to Lamb. And I think it absolutely translates. And you know what's interesting is the 10-yard splits on the 40-yard dashes for all the prospects at the combine. The top three in the 10-yard split were Judy, Lamb, and Ruggs.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. Those guys all can.
And he, you know, we talk about deep threats. He's a different kind of deep ball threat, right? He is a deep threat, but not because he's going to run by you, but likely because when that ball's in the air, he's going to go get it. Almost like a Dez Bryant, right? Dez Bryant wasn't really running past people.
Right.
But when they threw the ball up to him downfield, he figured out a way to come down with the ball. And I think Lamb, he's a lot like that. It just looks different, you know, and I just kind of had to look at him through a different lens than the way I look at Judy or Ruggs and how they have to win.
And I think for Judy and Ruggs, and for me personally, my list is Judy 1, Lamb 2, and Ruggs 3. And Lamb and Ruggs are really tight. They're like, they're back to back. They're all three are top 10 on my big board list that I'm working on. They're 9 and 10 overall. They're back to back. I can see arguments for both players. We'll get to Ruggs too, because that's another one who made a big jump, but in the other direction on your list. Let's talk about your number two receiver, who was one for you. A lot easier evaluation. It's really easy to see the strengths and weaknesses of Jerry Jeudy and who he is as a football player. Number one is just the footwork and the explosiveness in and out of his breaks, which makes me believe Shanahan's going to love this guy.
Yeah, so Jerry Jeudy, man, I mean, obviously, you know, again, looking for elite traits, right? You know, with a guy that you're going to draft at 13, and his elite trait, man, that route running ability, it's really second to none in this class. You know, when you talk about the speed in which he runs routes, the ability to, you know, cut and explode out of his breaks, you know, drop his hips, his change of direction, it's all, you know, those are elite, elite traits. You know, even, yeah, the way he's able to create space, you know, easy throws. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of a 49er, right? Maybe not to the same extent, but Dante Pettis, who, you know, he's able to win with routes. And maybe not, you know, a blazer, but Dante Pettis can run. We saw him do it a couple years ago against the Seattle Seahawks, where he had like a 75, 80-yard touchdown. Lamb, he's able, I mean, Judy, he's able to win with his route so effortlessly. And he really, I think the most underrated part of it is how he just understands how to attack cornerbacks' leverage, where he knows how to go to their blind spot and get them to go this way. And then he goes that way. The way he does it and the speed at which he does it, he's always, to me, when he comes off the ball and you talked about his 10-yard split, he's always threatening defensive backs as if he's running vertically. And I think that's a really special trait of his. I think the issues or the reason why I'm tuned on him changed a little bit is because, you know, when I was watching him, and again, I mean, it hasn't changed too much, right, because he's my wide receiver too. But when I was watching him, I would say, oh, you know, okay, yo, great, 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 great. Oh, he dropped this ball. Okay. Oh, great, great, great. Oh, okay, he dropped that ball. Okay. You know, it's okay, though, because he does this amazing. And, oh, he didn't really want to block there. He kind of turned his body to kind of take away the impact of that. He doesn't really want to block. But it's okay because he's such a great route runner, right? And then I was like, man, am I ignoring red flags? You know, am I ignoring things that could possibly be something that, you know, can, I don't want to say hinder him in the NFL, but maybe make it to where he's not that really wide receiver one that you can 100% count on to always be tough. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have times where he makes good catches over the middle and maybe takes a shot, but I'd say out of his 9 drops or whatever he had last year, he had a good amount of drops. I'd say most of the time they were because guys were either going to come on, like he knew he was going to take a shot, or guys were really close to him, or maybe knocking him off his path a little bit, and it kind of distracted him from catching the ball. And those are things that kind of jumped out to me where it's like, I need my wide receiver one to be the alpha. I need you to be physical, you know, and I need you to be willing to get a little bit dirty. And I'm not saying he's not, but I want it to be a little bit more consistent. I don't want that to be the reason why I lose a game, because maybe somebody, you know, you weren't able to kind of fight through this contact and you dropped the ball. And it's like, well, of course he did. He had the same issues in college, you know?
Right.
So I really love him. I would love to have him at the 49ers at 13. Wouldn't mind that at all. I think he'd walk in and be the 49ers best receiver day one. I just wish that I got a little bit more of that physicality from him.
I want to get into that idea a little bit more. More with Eric Crocker coming up. We're talking wide receivers, breaking down his rankings of this draft class. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you watch the game, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast. And yeah, getting those beverages on top of dinner is key. And if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what you want to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. You love food. That's why you'll love Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier with grocery deliveries, convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store, which is so key right now. No more late night fast food runs. You don't have to worry about where you're going to grab lunch. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. I know last year, remember how all the stories about how hard they were on prospects when they had meetings with them and at the combine and when they brought them in? And I wonder if guys like Pettis and maybe even Witherspoon and some others, and you know, and what they went through with Reuben Foster, they want to make sure that they have guys that are competitive and are going to fight and going to work really hard. And the thing is with Judy is like, I have no doubts he's a hard worker, but Yeah, you're right. At the catch point, you would like him to be a little bit stronger, a little bit more physical, and that's definitely that something that Lamb and probably Ruggs and some, a lot of other receivers have right now on Jerry Jeudy. And I wouldn't say it's a problem. Like, it's not a huge red flag for me, but you would just like to see a little bit more consistency catching the ball in traffic and going up and getting the ball and pulling it down. Because like you mentioned, you know, third and eight, games on the line, you want your guy to play big and put his big boy pants on and go pull down that ball and get the first down for you. So I could see how that would be a little bit of a concern. It wasn't enough for me to drop him down to number two, but he definitely has some work to do there. But the thing I do love is you can tell he puts the work in because he is a craftsman when it comes to his footwork and his routes. And that's not something that you just roll out of bed being able to do. Like, he works on that, you can tell.
Yeah. And from everything I heard, I think I was listening to like Mayoko's podcast, and he had like a former Alabama receiver coach on there that was a part of getting Jeudy, Smith, and Ruggs in there. And, you know, he praised Jeudy for his work ethic and how hard he works and how serious he takes his craft. And I think, you know, we see a lot of that on the field in his ability to you know, run routes. And that's another guy that works out with Footwork King, right? I just talked about Lamb working with Footwork King. Jeudy does too. And those are two guys. And that's one thing with Footwork King. You're going to have good footwork when you come out of it and be able to have a good change of direction. And some of his workouts are a little unorthodox. The way he kind of asks guys to, you know, he kind of challenges them to, you know, be more fluid and twitchier and things like that. And you can definitely see it paying off in Jeudy's game.
Yeah, we're not just talking about some ladder drills for the Instagram account, right? We're talking about some serious work being put in over there.
Mm-hmm.
Number three for you is not Henry Ruggs, which was another shocker to me. Who do you have in there in the three spot? And do you think this player should be in consideration for the 49ers at 13?
Yeah, so I don't know if I would take him at 13, but Justin Jefferson from LSU. And the reason why, again, like a lot of the same things that I spoke about with Lamb, maybe not to the same extent as far as the run after catch ability. Like, and he has some, but it's not as explosive as, or, you know, dynamic as what Ruggs is able to do, making guys miss and break all these tackles, all this crazy stuff that Lamb does. But Justin Jefferson, man, I mean, tough as nails. And he's a guy, you know, he played primarily in the slot this year, played outside the year before. You know, LSU didn't take him off the field. And if they were running the ball, he'd just slide down and he'd be dang near like a tight end that's off the, like tight end off the ball. And he's in there and he's blocking linebackers and blocking the ends and did well, held his own all the time. I mean, held his own enough to where they never took him out. They never were like, you know what? Because I saw Hamler, right? I'm watching Hamler. And they wanted to run the ball. So what do? They move Hamler outside. You know, like, okay, we know you can't block, so go ahead, we're on the outside. Well, Justin Jefferson didn't have those issues. 6'2", I think he's over a little bit over 200 pounds or right around 200 pounds. Fluid, very fluid mover, really good at the top of his routes. You know, he reminds me a ton of Kendrick Bourne, like a little bit Kendrick Bourne, a little bit Juju Smith-Schuster, tough. Makes all those contested catches, man. He makes them downfield, has speed to stretch the field. I think he's a guy that really would excel in the 49ers offense, where 49ers line up in a lot of tight splits, run those crossers. He did all that, man, took hits, really strong hands, just another gritty guy. We saw him, I want to say, in the national championship, score like four touchdowns in like the first half. You know, he went crazy there. He has a bunch of ability, and you throw the ball in the air, it doesn't have to be a perfect pass. He's another guy that comes down with it, man. And I really like him. And I think he's a guy that people are kind of looking over a little bit. You know, I know I hear a lot of people talk about him, but I think just how consistently good he is, you need those type of guys. I don't think there was any drop off with his game for the most part. And I did see that sometimes with other guys, even with sometimes with Jeudy playing against maybe tougher competition. Didn't really see that with my guy Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, Jefferson, 6'1", 202 at the combine. And that's what really, I went back and watched, because I watched Jefferson originally and I was like, ah, whatever, you know, second round guy maybe. I wasn't really blown away by him, but he's kind of grown on me. And one of the, first of all, he ran a 4.43 at the combine, which really helps. 37.5-inch vertical, a good broad jump. So a great workout really helps him. And I think the thing that solidified a first round grade for me with Justin Jefferson, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be the fourth wide receiver off the board if I had to guess, you know, fourth or fifth, but he's not getting out of the first round. Maybe there's a chance he's there at 31, but I doubt it for the 49ers. But I wouldn't take him at 13 either, so I don't think he's somebody that the 49ers are going to end up with. I think his sweet spot is right in between there, between a 13 and 31. He's a really safe pick. Like, you can count on him. The dude gets open. Right. He's got good hands. He's competitive. You know, he works hard. He works at his craft on the field. He worked hard to make sure he had good workouts. It's like, you can just trust that you're going to draft a really good player there, which is why I don't think he gets out of the first round. I think coaches and GMs are just going to feel really comfortable and be like, you know what? There's a lot of good players. It's a deep wide receiver draft, but I just feel really good that this guy is not going to miss, so let's draft him. And that's, I think, the best thing I can say about Justin Jefferson. He doesn't really blow me away in any one thing, except for I love that little, he's got a signature move in his route, right, where he does a little hesitation, little dead leg thing. It's almost like a basketball player, like a point guard crossing you over inside when he works his routes, and he gets open on it almost every single time.
I think it's an option route.
Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, it's an option route. He's reading the defender, and then his quarterback is kind of reading him.
Yeah, that's interesting. So do you think that translates then? Do the 49ers do a lot of that? Do you think that's something that translates if it's something where he's on the same page with his coach and his quarterback running an option route, but if you want him to just be like, okay, you got to get open, you got to run a whip route or whatever right here, do you think he's that type of route runner from the inside?
Oh, yeah, and definitely has that ability. And the 49ers have some option route stuff in there too. You know, that George Kittle play, for the big play against the Saints, that was an option route. He could have, you know, he was just reading the defense back. So, you know, Jefferson, I mean, you know, he brings that and definitely has an understanding of, you know, how to be on the same page with his quarterback. I think that's an added element to his game. And then also just his ability to, he can beat, man. He can beat. I think he had a little trouble against Georgia because they were doing something that I call take away something, running something. So they would just take away the outside. Like, and they know it. And I don't know if they knew that it was an option route that he had, but they're like, you know what? This is an option route you have. So we're just going to take away one option and make you have to go there, and we're just going to run to it. And they did that all game, and he kind of had trouble with that. But I think if somebody's kind of playing a little bit more honest, I think he, you know, he typically wins in that area.
And then the fact that he was pretty much always inside, and I know he played a little bit more outside the year before, but 49ers need someone who's a little bit better and can win outside more consistently, I think, or more consistently than I saw. Not that Justin Jefferson won't be able to do it, and it was nice to see him work out well. And a prospect I like. I just don't like him at 13, and I think teams are going to like him enough to draft him before the 49ers are on the clock at 31. We've got to move along here and talk about some of these other prospects. Number 4 and 5, you have some big-bodied wide receivers. I know you've been beating the Michael Pittman drum for a while, and he's now your number 4 guy, which I love to see. He solidified his ranking with a great workout at the combine. Just a solid, solid player, solid prospect. Again, a little bit safer, I think, for me because he can do a little bit of everything and he has size on top of it. He doesn't blow you away speed-wise, but throwing down a 4.52 at the combine, I think, was really important for Pittman.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you show, kind of match on film, right? You see him kind of, you know, run some deep routes, run some go routes, run some posts. Again, like you said, not a blazer. And I don't even know if he has like one trait that's like elite, but he's very, again, kind of like Justin Jefferson. He's a guy that's very, very, very consistent. I think he threatens DBs enough to get him going upfield, and he sits down routes. And I mean, he's like the prototypical big body possession receiver, like a, you know, this is going to be a throwback, but like a JoJo Vicious, you know, remember him?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Penn State.
A guy kind of in that mode. I kind of compared him to Vincent Jackson, you know, not quite the explosive athlete of a Mike Evans, but just somebody who, you know, he can give you a good amount of everything, but doesn't do one thing exceptionally well. But I think you're getting a very well-rounded receiver with him. And, you know, he's a good mover for that. He has the size, jump ball guy. You know, his dad is Michael Pittman Sr. We all saw him, the big rocked up running back from Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, you know, he has some NFL pedigree in his genes. Really good football player. And, you know, sometimes you need those guys, right? You just need those guys that are just really good football players.
Another big-bodied wide receiver prospect and the rest of Crocker's list coming up. Brian Edwards. He's a physical dude. There's that one highlight play of him just throwing guys off himself when he took an end around against, I think it was against Alabama, right? And he was just trucking guys running the ball. Like, he's kind of a beast and hasn't had a chance to work out or anything. So I don't know where his stock is going to be. I think he's going to be someone that you could get in round 3. So obviously you'd be cool with that, having him ranked number 5 in your wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, you know, Bryant Edwards, he was a guy, you know, and, you know, just speaking of that one play, that was the first game. That was the first play of the game against Alabama. First play, they did an end around, and he just threw Patrick Surtain. And Surtain, another guy, NFL pedigree, right, in his jeans. Surtain's a big corner. He's like 6'2", 200 pounds. And Bryant Edwards threw him like 5 yards. Like, he was like a little kid. I was just like, wow, what the heck is this guy? Like, what is this? So then I continued to watch. And, you know, 6'3", 215 pounds. A buddy of mine, again, he was telling me, hey, Croc, I actually played, I was with the Jets with this guy. He's now the strength and conditioning coach for South Carolina. And he was telling me last year, hey, if you want to get ahead on the guy, you have this dude named Bryant Edwards. You're going to really like him. You're going to really like him. You can get out there in front, you know, in front of everybody on this. And I was like, oh, yeah. I'll get to him, whatever. And then he messaged me again. Have you watched him yet? I'm telling you, you got to watch him. I'm like, okay, I'll get to him eventually. Well, I got to him, but it was just a year after I said I would. tremendous player. Everything that my buddy said about him, it came true on film. He was a guy, he said, you know, he doesn't look like the fastest of guys, but he was like, you know, Croc, we you know, they do their little measuring miles per hour or whatever. And he clocked the same miles per hour as Deebo Samuel when he was at South Carolina last year. So he's a guy that definitely very good mover, very physical brand. He actually runs really good routes. I thought he played faster this year than he did the year before. Like, maybe he just kind of came into his own and just played with a little bit more assertiveness. Really strong hands, had the ability to win vertically. And he did a lot of those end arounds like Deebo Samuel, but he's like a jumbo size, you know, a 6'3 version of him. There was a lot to really like about him. Beat guys vertical, beat my guy CJ Henderson vertically on the post. He outran Trevon Diggs on a deep route, just blew right by him, but the ball was overthrown. So this is a guy that, you know, he can run, and he also brings you that possession catch ability. He can run slants. He doesn't mind going into traffic. He's a load when guys try to bring him down. I mean, he gets hit, and he, like, carries guys for a couple yards, and he falls forward. So he gets a lot of leak yardage, as Robert Saleh likes to call it. There was really a lot to like about his game. Really good overall game. And it's like, every time I talk about him, I'm like, man, do I like him more than Michael Pittman Jr.? I think that he can be, you know, really good at the next level. And he is a guy, you know, he had an injury. Again, my buddy told me, man, dude works so hard. He doesn't know how to turn it off. And maybe that's the reason why he, you know, hurt his foot or whatever training for the combine. But, you know, I saw him last night on my buddy's Instagram, you know, doing push-ups. You know, so this is a guy that's always working, rocked up, looks good, NFL body. And I really like his game, man. I really like what he brings to the table.
I love that. And I wish the 49ers were in a situation, if they had re-signed Emmanuel Sanders, you could say, oh, you just kick back with the wide receiver position and let's draft one of these guys round two, round three, see who's there, use the value of this draft and the depth and then have that guy compete for maybe you find a future starter. Maybe someone like Bryant Edwards is there in round three for you or even round two. Or Michael Pittman, but I just don't know if the 49ers have that luxury. I don't think they can wait. They need that guy. And if one of those guys is at 13, I think they've got to do it. One of the popular names we see at 13, and he dropped all the way to number 6 in your rankings, and we've got to hit this one, and then we'll maybe just read through the rest of them. But I got to hear your take on Henry Ruggs now that you've watched him more, and what made you want to drop him down behind a few of these guys to your 6th ranked wide receiver.
So, you know, with me, it's all about, you know, how do you win and can you consistently win that way? So even like a guy like Jerry Jeudy, you know he's going to win with his routes all the time. I know CeeDee Lamb, he's going to win the way he wins, whether it's contested catches or being able to get open underneath and, you know, his excellent run after catch that shows up all the time. You know, even guy Justin Jefferson, I know what he can hang his hat on. He's very consistent. Maybe he might not jump out at you, consistent. Same with the other two guys that I mentioned with Edwards and Pittman, consistent. When it comes to Ruggs, when you're a speed guy, and I don't want to, like, just say he's just a speed guy. You know, I hate when people say that. Oh, he's just a speed guy, like a John Ross, right? Well, even John Ross, man, when you watch him at Washington, dude was electric. And it wasn't just him being a speed guy. He had routes. He had releases. He'd be able to. You know, he was twitchy. He had everything. And that's why he was as highly touted of a prospect as he was. Well, the thing is sometimes with these speed guys, it's not consistent. And with some of these guys, if they can't win that way, it's hard for them to be consistent with it, right? We've seen it with Marquise Goodwin, right? A blazer. He's 4-2 guy. But if he can't win with his speed, he ends up kind of being a guy that has a, you know, two catches for, but one catch might go for 40 yards, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, his production, and I don't think there's a coincidence that Goodwin only had one really solid year, right? 30 yards shy of 1,000 yards. You know, John Ross, he's been really up and down. When you hang your hat on being a speed guy, then sometimes it leads to a lot of inconsistencies. And I'm not saying that Ruggs is that guy. I just think I saw a little too much of struggle to separate from, you know, really good, talented cornerbacks, especially in the LSU game. He did win sometimes, but I need you to win consistently. I need to be able to count on that you're going to get open against this guy. And I don't think I saw that. Now, I can go through and I can just point out him running terrific routes. I mean, he ran a great route even in the LSU game. He ran a circus route against Christian Fulton. Great route. He rocked him on a slant route. Great route. But I don't want to have to like, okay, I know he can, you know, release off the ball here, but because that's how he wins, he has to win with speed. And I think sometimes we see the plays where, oh, he caught a dig route and he took it to the house, which is an elite trait. That's great. And I want that from him. That's why you like him. But that sounds to me more like a complimentary pick than somebody that you would take at 13. And so I think that's kind of what dropped him for me. Now he can go and he can get better at his releases, which he has it. He has the ability. He has it. He has the route running ability. He can go and go to the next level. And he can be consistent with that. And he can be a wide receiver one and he can be great. Right. And I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I think that I can hang. I like the consistency more of the other guys being able to win the way that they win compared to the way that he wins. And I think that's the one thing that kind of knocks him a little bit out of my top five, and why I'm not going to say I'm lower on him than other guys. I think I just have some questions to where I know this can kind of go one way or the other.
Yeah, there's definitely more bust potential with Ruggs than there is with Judy and Lamb, in my opinion. And for a lot of the reasons that you laid out there, and a lot of the reasons that it's dogged some other true burner track guys in the past, I don't think he's a track guy playing football, though. I do like the toughness that Ruggs has, which makes me feel a lot better about it.
Oh, man, I love it. He's a dog.
Yeah.
I talk about it all the time. I talk about it in thread. He had dealt it. It was like a screenplay or something like that. He had dealt it, just beelining to him. I mean, running a straight line at him from about 15 yards away. And he stood in there. That was like the most impressive play I've seen, maybe since I've been watching film, or maybe outside of Brian Edwards just throwing the DB 5 yards. But, I mean, dude just ran full speed at him, and he hung in there. And we're talking about a safety that has some good size. And, boom, stood in there and took on the block. And that let me know what kind of kid this is. This is a dog, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just do that. If you're kind of, you know, if you're more of a cat, you know, when you're a dog, you're able to kind of hang in there. He didn't turn his body. He didn't flinch. He stood in there and squared him up and actually took him on, didn't even get moved back. And then the Delpit who rushed at him ended up falling on the ground. And I was like, wow, that was extremely impressive. And then I watch him go over the middle. He extends his arms and he doesn't just, you know, oh man, let me short arm this or anything like that. He extends his hands over the middle, doesn't worry about getting banged, and catches the ball. I think there's a lot to like with him. I just need a little bit more consistency of him using his speed as a threat and being able to win the way that he might have to win in the NFL.
All right, we're out of time here. Real quick, just so everybody knows, the rest of Crocker's rankings, we'll go back over the top here, just read them down. So CeeDee Lamb 1, Jerry Jeudy 2, Justin Jefferson 3, Michael Pittman 4, Brian Edwards 5, Henry Ruggs the 3rd 6, Jalen Reagor out of TCU 7, Brandon Ayuk 8, Isaiah Hodgins 9, who I think is jumbo size Kendrick Bourne, in my opinion. That's a compliment. I like that about Isaiah Hodgins. One of the only guys on this list got a better catch rate than Henry Ruggs. Both only had one drop last year, but Hodgins had a lot more targets. T. Higgins drops all the way down to 10 for you. Donovan Peoples-Jones out of Michigan, 11. Courtney Davis, 12. KJ Hamler, speedster, shrinks at the catch point. I'm lower on Hamler than I think a lot of people, even though he's athletic and fun to watch. You have him hit 13. I think that's about right. Denzel Mims, an interesting one. You have him all the way down at 14, despite his fantastic combine workout coming after dominating and playing really well at the Senior Bowl. Antonio Gandy-Golden, 15. Tyler Johnson, 16. Gabriel Davis, 17. Quintez Cephas, 18. Van Jefferson, 19. And Laviska Shenault, 20. Some people have Shenault in the first round, so you're going to, I'm sure you caught some flack for that one on Twitter. But that is Eric Crocker's top 20. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go in depth in any more of these guys, but you can find Crocker on Twitter at Eric_Crocker and hit him up there. And he's always fun to talk ball with on Twitter. And I'm sure he'll give you the reasons and you can just find his thread. And there's a ton of reasons why he has these guys ranked in these certain spots. But I wanted to get that Twitter handle out there so the listeners can come yell at you, because I'm sure some of them have some questions, some big questions about how those rankings ended up for you, Crocker. But always a pleasure. Appreciate you coming on the show again, Croc, and it's fun, and we'll have to talk more draft, either leading up or right after the draft.
No, definitely, man. Thanks for having me on. Anytime.